I'm Jamal, and you're listening to Guess in the Mecha, your weekly anime and manga analysis podcast. From inspiring arcs to game-changing cinematography, I'm on a journey to try and make sense of it all, episode by episode. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to Get in the Mecha, and in today's episode, we are taking a look into original anime and why I think original anime is such a breath of fresh air. This is something that I've wanted to speak about for a while, and we do speak about original anime on this podcast already, but I wanted to talk about it on a bit more of a meta level and why I think it's so important for anime as an art form and as a meta of animation, but also why it is so necessary in a field which is more dominated by adaptations. This podcast isn't particularly a let's bash anime adaptations podcast, but it's more so trying to look critically at the difference between the two and why I think that originals are so necessary in this landscape. And so without further ado, let's dive right into the podcast for this week. That is episode 94 of Guess in the Mecha, The Value of Original Anime. At this part of the episode, I'm usually telling you that you should be aware for XYZ spoilers, but in this episode, as we are speaking very meta, sort of, I'm speaking much more about the thing rather than the actual anime itself and the concept behind it and how it works, or how I perceive it to work. There won't really be any direct spoilers. I'm going to be talking about a few anime here and there to obviously sort of bulk up what I'm trying to say and run this argument home. But I'm not particularly going to be spoiling anything, so you can listen to this episode relatively spoiler-free. And also, last thing, apologies if I do sound a bit nasally in this episode. My nose has been acting a bit weird as of late, and I'm also podcasting in earphones rather than headphones for the first time because I forgot my headphones somewhere, and so I'm trying to adapt to this relatively quickly. You probably won't notice a difference, but apologies if it does sound slightly different than usual. And so to dive into this, I thought I'd touch on this topic partially because original anime is something that I've become really passionate about, especially over the past year or so as I've tried to learn more and more about the anime industry and the creatives within it. We're also at a time where there are so many anime being made. Anime, as we have mentioned multiple times before, is in this overproduction mode. There's so much of it being made, and we've had this upsurge of big jump adaptations. I'm not particularly saying these are the product of overproduction, but they seem to be in the same place at the same time anyway. I think that that has produced this quote-unquote hype culture, which I'm going to try and explain and get into a bit more today. And I think a lot of that is sourced from these anime in particular. And also, I think it's good to touch on this topic as we are about halfway into the anime year, so to speak. We have reached July. It's about July 2nd today when this is being recorded, and we're in that very weird transition period between the spring and summer. There are quite a few shows which are pushed quite towards the latter half of July, such as Sunny Boy, for example, but then you have some which are literally right on the horizon, like Case Study of Vanitas. So it's a bit of a weird period. And I thought that I'd address this as we are moving throughout the year, and it's a good time to just pause and reflect on a very specific thing like this, which has done a lot, as it has shaped a lot of the year. If we're talking about Wonder Egg and its performance as of late, or Vivi, for example, which has also made quite a few waves, or at least has created quite a bit of noise. And so I think original anime is something that is pretty important right now and something that shouldn't be ignored, and that's why I'm really covering it today. These shows have had their highs and their lows and their peaks and their troughs and their upsets and everything in between, and these really can't be ignored, which is why I think this period especially is a great time to cover it, considering how wild this year has been already. So I want to talk about this notion of hype culture and anime hype culture. It's a term I kind of just put together on the fly. It's not this very specific or very meaningful and deep word. It's very self-explanatory. And that's kind of just what I'm going to be calling it this episode. it's definitely a real thing, and it's a big thing too. Often when we are heading into a new anime season, particularly when there's a very popular adaptation of a work, there's a certain phrase that is often thrown about, and it always makes me feel a bit weird. It's something I've experienced for so long now that I'm almost desensitized to it, and it's when people say that you're not ready for the thing that's about to come. And this usually comes from this position of, I read the book, I read the light novel, I read the manga, I read the manhwa, etc. Although it does make me feel a bit weird, I understand where it's coming from, and I'm not trying to really dump on those people or people that have said this, because I'm not gonna lie, probably in very implicit ways I've kind of maybe even said this myself for things that I really like, even if it isn't particularly an adaptation of a thing that I'm really into. You're excited for this thing that's going to come out, you're a big fan of the work and you can't contain your excitement, and you're excited to see other people witness it, and excited to see other people excited and be blown away by this thing for the first time. It totally comes from a good place, and I will not deny that or refute that at all. But I think that with the internet and social media and the rest of it, expectations do become damaged, and you can tell me to, yeah, just get off the internet and problem solve that, and you might be right, but I would also say that realistically there are a lot of people interacting and engaging in these communities on the internet, and it would be a bit weird to sort of completely disengage with that, because that is how people today enjoy these shows and enjoy the art form, by engaging with other people. And so I think there's a good side to it, but there's also a negative, or arguably negative side from my point of view. And that's why I think the sort of you're not ready phrase gets a bit damaging potentially to the expectations, or at least it manipulates them to some extent. But perhaps something I find a bit cumbersome about adaptations, and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to dog on them, I watch these all the time, but to some extent that I'd say from the perspective of when you've read the source yourself, it kind of becomes an experience of seeing how the thing you read fares to its counterpart. And the counterpart is never free from its source. They can't really be, or they're often not judged differently, but judged comparatively. And comparison, I think, is fine, but it gets to an unhealthy extent where it's, is this meeting the value of its source, rather than is it doing its own thing creatively or in a means by which it becomes a great experience for the viewer. Don't get me wrong, I think there are things that are positive when it comes to seeing a thing that you like being animated, but I think it devolves into like kind of this, if I dare say, like reductionist, is this looking like this? Is this meeting the expectation of this? Rather than it being judged independently of that and finding, letting it find its own creative path, kind of like how when you're reading the source, you allowed it to do that. And this is where original anime really comes in for me. An anime that's essentially made to be an anime from the get-up. There are a few reasons why I like original anime, and the rest of this episode, I don't know whether this is going to be a shorter episode or not, but the majority of this episode is going to be me kind of getting to the bottom of this, and why I think it's such a valuable part of the anime experience as a whole, as a consumer of this sort of art form. As I said, there are a few reasons, and I'm going to try and get into some specific anime and kind of reference them as we go along. With the length of this podcast these days, I obviously can't cover every single one of them that I put in the thumbnail. Those were mostly examples for original anime that I really like and original anime in general. But I'll try my best to make at least, if it's something that I'm not covering, at least some broader brushstrokes about original anime as a whole, and it will likely encapsulate how I feel about those anime and what they offer by virtue of them being original. First of all, it really just has to be the thrill of it. And I think that as an anime watcher personally, I'm a bit of a thrill seeker. I like experiencing new things and experiencing something completely blind. There is a beauty in going on my anime list, looking for an anime that you've never heard of, and just watching it because you came across it and it looked vaguely interesting, and you don't even look at the synopsis, you kind of just go head in. And sometimes you get a great experience, sometimes you don't, but that is what is so fun about it. And that thrill-seeking nature I think I have when it comes to anime, even though I'd say in life in general, I'm not particularly a thrill-seeker or something. Like, I don't want to skydive from a plane or something. But at least for anime, I think that definitely converts for me. There's so much fun in not knowing what is going to come and not even knowing of the project's existence until it's announced, or the course of the project and how it goes because you have reference to a book or a manga or manhwa, etc., to know how it goes down. With original anime, we don't have that, and we're completely in the dark. And we're completely in the dark together if you are one who engages in online fandom and communities. I think it's possible, and I think this was something that I also did in the much earlier days of my anime watching sort of career, and something that I'm sure more people do, especially when, if you are surrounded by people that like anime and you're new to anime, you do get people constantly recommending these pretty popular anime to you. Especially if you hang amongst people that are into battle shonens and these more popular anime. It becomes very safe behavior, I'd say, where you're choosing things which are much more quote-unquote tried and tested by a large amount of people that almost certify it and put their stamp on it. But there's a lot of fun in watching something that just doesn't have that same approval. And it's not because it's niche and you feel superior or something, but it's just not knowing what could be there. And sometimes when you find gold, it's an experience you definitely try to replicate a lot. This sounds like some sort of addictive behavior. It isn't. But definitely, it's something that has really informed how I've consumed anime in the last few years, by just picking something kind of just based on the poster. And I know that sounds kind of barbaric, but I think it's worked for me a lot and has helped me get out of my comfort zone, even though I don't think, but by doing this, I don't really think I have a comfort zone anymore. And original anime has really helped me do that a lot of the time, because there is very limited sense of comfort. There are some anime that, yes, it really depends on the nature of the anime, but I would say that you don't really know when that comfort will disappear, because you don't have a sense of security. You're constantly on this shaky platform and you don't really know what could happen next week. Literally anything could happen next week, obviously being guided by the logic of the show. This is where appointment viewing becomes so enjoyable, and I couldn't recommend this enough for anyone that wants to experience an original anime, probably to the, I would argue, in my personal opinion, the best extent possible, or just in the most enjoyable way possible. This isn't for everyone, I understand that, and I'm sure there are people who are listening and in my audience and community that are busy people, and appointment viewing isn't really a thing for you, and I get it, that's totally fine, and this again isn't going to be for everyone, unfortunately. But if you have the opportunity to do this and the time to do so, I again couldn't recommend it enough. Essentially, appointment viewing being setting a time to watch something at in regular intervals. I would recommend following the air dates of a particular original anime, for example, watching Vivi every single week the day it comes out, or watching it the day after or something, but just setting aside a time to watch it each week and watch it unfold in front of you, I think is incredible, particularly when it's a very thrilling sort of show. And I will talk about a very specific thrilling show basically right now. I think it's super fun just letting your mind roam throughout the week and thinking and connecting all these things, and you surprisingly get very attached to it because you're constantly thinking about it. It's kind of become a part of your regular routine to watch this show, but also get really engaged into it as well. And now for the example, I've used this example time and time again, and I'm sure you're tired of me talking about this anime online, on the podcast, on Twitter, wherever. I know you're tired, but I don't care because I have to shill One Direct Priority once again. And I don't care what you think about this anime, particularly after its conclusion. I have to continue just stressing how beautiful of a weekly experience it was, at least for the main 11 weeks if we minus the recap and the final episode. The beauty of these originals comes from not only when it's on and you're watching it and actively consuming it, but it's those parts in between. You could even argue that the best parts of the show aren't actually the show itself, but what it makes you think throughout the week when you're spacing out at 11 a.m. just thinking about One Direct. I know I'm very much projecting my own thoughts on you here, but that's exactly what One Direct made me do. One Direct Priority contains these characters that very much condition you into thinking what you think they are, and they might or might not turn out to be who they claim to be or whatever. And you assume malicious intent or you assume innocence, but in reality they might be completely different to that. They play on our own experiences and knowledge and understanding of the world, and we are week by week just trying to piece these things together and fearing the safety and knowledge and understanding of all these characters every single week. And every week it sort of answers our questions, or it could even stoke the fire at times. And it's this constant battle in almost your own head to really try and piece things together every time you're not watching the show, or almost all the time in which you're not watching. I think it's great how with original anime there's that lack of validation. You don't particularly know whether you're right or not. Again, that's why I'd say appointment viewing on the week by week basis is really great, because there is no way of validating whether what you said is wrong, because there's no new episode yet. You can't prove your thing. You can't prove by looking at the book or looking at the manhwa. You kind of just have to sit there with your own thoughts and really question it. And it's something that I think those who did put together One Direct Priority really thought about very hard before they put it out. What would they, this isn't confirmed, I'm just theorizing here, so speculating. What would make these people think really hard about this person? What if we provoked them into thinking like this, and how would we execute that? And they do exactly that in this show, and it is absolutely mind-blowing. It's something that you really have to see, particularly if you're into thrillers and psychological dramas. Even if it isn't as maybe thrilling as the other ones from at least a visual perspective and how they're put together, it's a bit more subtle in that regard, but it's definitely something that it does throughout the entire show. It's the constant state of not knowing that is probably the most exciting part about an anime original for me. This was kind of something that was done in Great Pretender as well, the recent Netflix anime, which I actually found really good. I'm still yet to finish the final arc, but at least for the first four or three arcs, I believe, it was really exciting and enjoyable. I wouldn't call this particularly a thriller or something. This isn't a One Direct, but it definitely is a fun experience throughout. And this is the time where I think Netflix really got it right when it came to their release model. This is probably the first and maybe only time I'll compliment them on this. Essentially, what they did was that they released one arc every week. And what that did was that it broke it up into a really nice, like, sort of 5-episode, 4-episode arc that you could pretty much watch throughout the week. And each arc basically takes place in a different country as well. And so you'd be introduced to this completely new environment in terms of footage, about 1 hour 30 minutes. It's kind of like watching a movie in an entire week, and it's just a fresh experience, and it's incredibly refreshing when you don't know as well what is coming, and you have to really just dive and fully immerse yourself into this world for the first time. And Great Pretender, which has incredible art design and incredible direction, I would say, it really makes it such a beauty to watch. And being new to it as well, because you're adapting to not only just the culture and traditions and who is based in the country, but also what it looks like and its color palette as well, because that is very much the tone of the show. And I think having a lack of source material, a lack of thing to reference, can make that a bit more exciting than the average adaptation, in my opinion. This is also the case, we're tripling down here, with Akudama Drive, which is a short drama, it's a 12-episode drama from what I understand, if not it's 13 episodes, that gets much more profound the longer you go through it and the more you get along. And when consumed in this way, and also by virtue of it being original, it's just really great to journey through things and watch these layers unfold before not only the character's eyes, but your eyes too. And before you know it, you're at the end and you realize that this really does have a pretty deep political message, and you kind of had to just watch it all make sense and see all the puzzle pieces come together as a viewer. If we return back to this combination of appointment viewing and original anime, this isn't something that's exclusive to original anime, but it's something that I think I've enjoyed specifically in original anime, notably from Studio Trigger, because they produce almost only originals. This is a bit more of a niche thing that's quite enjoyable about them, but something that I've really enjoyed over the past few months or even year. Both certain studios and directors where you kind of have a rougher understanding of who could come on and who is pretty certainly going to come on. It becomes almost this waiting game to see if XYZ staff member really arrives on the project, and also how they will take this project and what direction they'll put it in. Because of that, again, a slight, I'm not going to exaggerate it and say there's no constraint amongst, because of the fact that it's original, there will always be constraint, but I'd say the slight different, or the nature of constraint is very different, I would say. In original anime to that of being a bit more constrained to the source of a project. And it's just miraculous to see how they can really attack the thing and make it completely different, as if it wasn't something that was already surpassing and I will say the overused subverting expectations in some instances. When you have these much more unique components that can be bent much more, and I feel like they're much more malleable, and these components, I mean, stuff like characters and setting and much more, I think that it's just so exciting to see someone just take them and completely bend them. And a great example of this and so on, again, who I've discussed a decent amount on this podcast already, is Kai Karashi. And if we look to his episodes of SSSS Gridman and Dino Zenon 10 and Gridman 9, he does pretty much what I said. He takes these components, he bends them to his will, and it completely changes the course of the series and the direction we thought it could go in. I think that marketing is also a massive part of what makes original anime work so well, and I think that's where we've been speaking a lot about expectations on this episode of the podcast, and I think that's where the expectations come from, marketing and how you promote the thing, and what exactly do you put in the thing to change or manipulate the expectations of the people who are going to consume said thing that you're advertising. I would say that, and I'm saying this more from the perspective of someone that has read sources and then had the thing adapted, I'm not just trying to speak from a perspective of, oh, I'm on team original anime, because I've been on both sides of the coin. Recent example, like the Chainsaw Man trailer, I think it became, and was for me even, it's more about seeing what they were going to do with the thing that I really liked and how they were going to interpret it. And there is value in that. I think it's interesting to see how one interprets a thing and changes it into something else. But I feel like I'm watching for more so what are they going to do with the thing that I really like, rather than what thing are they going to make. And I like seeing a product that is completely fresh to my eyes. And that's just a personal preference, but I find that quite fun and, again, refreshing. But the marketing of originals, if we return to that, can be so crucial for really just, I think the weight of expectations is lifted, or the expectations can definitely be completely twisted if you market the thing right. Wonder Egg's very subtle marketing, and you could argue lack in some places. I don't know whether that was intentional or not, but at least how it was done, it looked from the outside like a very comfortable slice of life anime that looked absolutely beautiful. But then on the inside, it ended up being a psychological thriller about adolescence and so many other things that we'll probably cover in another podcast. But I think as we're heading into stuff like Sunny Boy and Fena Pirate Princess, we can definitely learn a lesson as to how marketing or these anime can work as case studies to why marketing is such a valuable tool for changing what the audience thinks. The hype culture of today definitely causes us to latch onto these things like PVs and trailers. There are some people I know who are very anti-trailer and say that they just want to go in without trailers, without nothing. I can't do that personally, but good for them. But at least a lot of people watch trailers before they watch a movie, or they watch the PV for an anime that they really or are probably going to see next season. When we have events like MAPPA Stage, the point is to excite people for the thing that's coming up, and so you are immediately attracted to the thing that will promote the thing that you're eventually going to consume, inevitably. And that is their means of playing with you. That is where they can really catch you out with original anime. They can promote it like one thing. And I'm not saying this isn't deceptive marketing. It's more so, again, playing with the viewer, because it intends to do something. It's not like it's showing something false, but it's more so, it's not showing the whole picture. And we see this with, I believe, Sunny Boy in its first episode and the PV as well. It shows us a side of it, but not all of it. And when it really reveals its cards, I think that's when viewers can really be wowed, because there's no weight or shackle of expectation behind it. I think the incredible moments within original anime, to some extent, are heightened by the sheer fact that we didn't know when it was going to come, and it's crafted from what feels like, as a consumer, nothing. It doesn't really feel like it's okay, we're adapting the big moment, the big twist. The twist kind of just approaches you. And again, I'm talking more from a consumer perspective rather than what is actually happening. It doesn't come out of thin air, but it feels like that. And when something approaches you from thin air that ends up being really good, I think you feel very special. You feel like you've witnessed something very important. And it's something that I've really loved experiencing across the various originals I've been watching recently. Just to double down on this, I don't want this podcast to be understood as the trashing adaptations podcast or why adaptations are bad and original anime is good. That is far from the point of this episode. And there are so many adaptations that I've seen that have been done so well in recent times. But I do think that as a collective, they all face a very particular and single challenge, which is constantly battling against the constant weight of expectations from its audience. In some sections of the community and within certain anime communities, this has devolved into this toxic culture of comparison. And comparison isn't the bad thing. It's a toxic comparison or reductionist sort of comparison that tries to see how much they match together. And when one doesn't match to another, it's instantly a disappointment. It becomes a game of resemblance rather than seeing the creative potential of the project when it's animated by in itself. Original anime has the potential to just surpass this almost completely. The expectations really come from what you feed the viewer in terms of marketing and the expectations that they might have in their own head, but besides that, there's not a book to try and compare it to and show why it's so different and such. It exists in its own right, which I think is just a really nice thing, honestly. Original anime is, to me, just a breath of fresh air and a quintessential part of what makes anime, in my opinion. Having these creator-driven projects not only allows these creatives to put their stamp on the meta that is Japanese animation, but share their unique voice with the rest of the world too. Original anime, in my opinion, has played such a massive role in shaping what anime is and how we even look at it. Be it from Anno's Neon Genesis Evangelion to Shinichiro Watanabe's Samurai Champloo and Cowboy Bebop, or Ikuhara's Utena, for example, and so many more, Imaishi's Gurren Lagann, etc., etc. These original anime have just made their mark on what it is. I'd say that original anime, in so many cases, have made their mark on anime as a whole and anime as a creative endeavor. It's just a great experience, but also a really great insight into the creative minds of these various industry members. With that being said, that is the analysis and the podcast for this week. Let's dive right into closing thoughts on the other side of this, and I will basically just summarize what I've said this episode, because I have said a lot of things, to be honest. Original anime is something that I've definitely been getting more in touch with over the past year or two, mostly the past year, as I've really expanded my horizons when it comes to learning about the anime industry and the people that are a part of it. And original anime, I've started to realize, is such a massive part of how these creatives really make their, or really put their stamp on anime. And as I said at the end of this podcast, it's just these massive works. It's not even just about the big works, it's the smaller works as well, but there have been so many of these that have really put out how we understand anime and its limitations and its boundaries and how they're pushed, I think can really be understood through the lens of original anime, and probably at its best through original anime. In terms of as a consumer, though, I think original anime is a great experience, and I would definitely, if you can and if you have the time, my personal recommendation would be to pair this with appointment viewing. I don't know if I mentioned this, but you don't even need to do it with an anime that is new. An anime that is new, I'd say, is that extra bit cooler, because there is no way of validating the things that you're thinking or what you potentially think could happen next. But even if it is with, you know, a friend, and you're watching a show that you've never seen before and it's an original, just watching it, I'm even doing that literally with a friend myself, actually, just watching one episode a week and separating for a week, or just getting on with your week and then coming back to it and just thinking about it, letting your mind sit on it, I think is a really magical experience. Even maybe I'm exaggerating a bit, it might not be magical for everyone, but I think if you really appreciate anime and great storytelling, or at least if it's a story that I think you're really in touch with, you'll definitely allow it to sit in your mind, and you really get to experience it even outside of the thing itself. It has a lifespan of its own outside of just watching the anime every week. The really big point from this podcast is that expectations are something that are definitely handled differently in original anime. The expectations from original anime don't really derive from their source, because there isn't a source. The source is the thing itself. But it becomes a matter of manipulating expectations through other means, through the promotion material, through the PVs, through the trailers, as I said. And overall, I'd say that they're under a lot less pressure because of this lack of expectation. How do you expect something from a thing that you've never knew, that you never knew existed? And so it really has the ability to take advantage of this and deliver some really excellent and wonderful stories that are really worth being told. Thank you for listening to this episode of Guest on the Mecha. That has been episode 94. I really do hope you enjoyed this one. I had a lot of fun talking about this. I thought this was going to be a slightly shorter episode than usual, as I am recording this much later than usual, but I actually just had to really dig deep with this one because this is a topic I'm really passionate about. I wanted to try and give it my all, and hopefully you realize that this episode. If you do enjoy this podcast and you really do want to support it, if you could leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, that would really, really help keep the podcast going. And it's really great for helping other people find this show as well. I really want to try and build this community around Guests in the Mecha, and your support would be really appreciated if you again could leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you can leave reviews. That there needs to be a lot more sites to do that, to be honest. If you are listening to this on YouTube, if you could like and subscribe and comment as well, particularly if you are listening to this early, this podcast should end up being just around the 30-minute mark if I am looking at the recording time properly. And that means that you have time if you are seeing this and you are finishing the podcast in the first hour, you have time to comment. If you can comment in the first hour, be it a question, be it what you thought of the podcast, whatever, or something in relation to the anime which I discussed, that would be very helpful, as that is what helps it in the algorithm. So if you could do those things, that would really help a ton. Have a great rest of your week, and have a happy whenever this is coming out, because this is definitely not coming out on Friday. It's coming probably very early Saturday morning. Have a great Saturday, have a great rest of your weekend, have a great rest of your week, whatever you're doing. Enjoy some anime, and hopefully some original anime if you are feeling really spicy. I have been your host, Jamal, today, and this has been Guest in the Mecha. The music in this production goes as follows. Synthwave by Alex, by Alex McCulloch, Mandatory Overtime by Joth, and Difference by Chasers Gaming.